minig on Shavuos is to read Megillah Shavuos. The minig here in Eretz Yisrael, which follows the minig of the Gro, is to read Megillah Shavuos from a Megillah with brachas, same way as we would read Megillas Esther, in the same way as the Vilna Gaon is of the opinion that all the Megillas that we read, whether it's Esther, whether it's Rus, whether it's Koheles, all the Megillas, Yerashirim, all the Megillas are read from a klaf with brachas on Mikra Megillah. Others have the minhag to read Megillas Rus during davening, but not from a klaf, but without a bracha, just from a text. Others have the minhag not to read Megillas Rus at all in the shul, but that everybody individually during the course of the day reads Megillas Rus. But the minhag exists of reading Rus on Shavuos in one form or another form. The Medrash at the beginning of Megillas Rus says that Megillah Zu, this Megillah of Rus, Ein Bo, does not contain Lo Tuma V'Lo Tayra. It doesn't talk about Tuma, it doesn't talk about Tahara, Lo Issa V'Lo Heta, and it doesn't contain any mitzvahs loisase, and it doesn't contain any mitzvahs asei. So if so, ask Chazal, lomo nichtavo? What was the point of the Megillah? If it doesn't contain any halachas of Tumah v'Tayra, it doesn't contain any halachas of Issa v'Heta, so what's the whole point of the entirety of the Megillah? Say Chazal, lamdecho, that this whole Megillah of Rus comes to teach us Kama schar toiv, how much positive reward there is legoim le chasodim for somebody who does acts of chesed. In another place, Chazal phrased this in an even clearer fashion. And Chazal say, Lomo kairin megillah zu b'chag ha-shvuis. Why is the Megillah of Rus read on Chag HaShavuos? To which Chazal answers, Shemegillah zu kulo chesed. Because the entirety of Megillah's Rus talks about the concept of chesed, v'hatera kulo chesed, and Torah is also completely about chesed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'seiras chesed al l'shoino. So Torah is being described as chesed, and Torah was nitna b'shavuos. Therefore, seeing that Torah, which revolves around chesed, was nitna b'shavuos, therefore, on Shavuos we read the Megillah, which is in its entirety about chesed, namely the Megillah of Rus. In other words, Chazal are telling us that the focal point around which the entirety of Torah revolves, and so too the focal point of Megillas Rus, around which the entirety of Megillas Rus revolves, is the concept of chesed. If one reads Megillas Rus, one sees very clearly the outcome of somebody who is totally egoistic, who is totally the antithesis of chesed, namely Elimelech, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, yet for purely egoistic reasons deserts everybody, runs away to Midian, the classic arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. And the result is the total disintegration of the family and total assimilation into marriage. On the other hand, the Megillah discusses at length the act of chesed, of somebody who in darga could be considered a pochas shebchutim, lowest level, non-Jewish Moabite girl, who does a maisa chesed with her mother-in-law, and the result of that, that she is zeicha through this act of chesed to a descendant who is David HaMelech, and to a descendant who will be Mashiach, who is Ben David, a descendant of David HaMelech. The power of an act of chesed can be seen from the Torah itself, which talks about the antithesis of chesed. The Torah tells us that Lo yovoi amoini umayovi b'kahal Hashem, that any mayovi, any male member of the nation of Moav, any male member of the nation of Ammon cannot convert, cannot become a member of Klal Yisrael, cannot intermarry with Jews. And the Pasuk says, Gam der asiri lo yovei lohem bikal Hashem ad oilom. They can never become part of Klal Yisrael. Why? Asher lo kidmu eschem belechem umayim. Because when you were leaving Egypt and you wanted and needed water and food, they weren't willing to give it to you, as the Torah describes. It's interesting. In contrast to Amalek, which is considered to be the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, in contrast to Amalek, about who it said, Timcha Ezecher Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim, that Amalek was to receive the punishment of total extermination. Male, female, children, animals, everything that belongs to Amalek has to be destroyed. Nevertheless, the Rambam paskins in Perek Vov of Hilchas Melachim that an Amaleki can become a ger. In other words, a member of a nation about which it's said that the name of the Ribbono Shel'olam and the throne of the Ribbono Shel'olam, whatever that means, is not complete until that nation is totally exterminated, can nevertheless become a member of Klal Yisrael. We are Mekabel Gerim from Amalek, according to the Rambam. In other words, that nation whose chet was such that the only solution to the chet of Amalek is extermination, nevertheless, there is a way in which the Amaleki can be mesaken the chet that was done by Amalek, and that is through Geirus. There is no Isur Chitun. There is no Isur of marriage specifically with an Amaleki after conversion. And therefore one would assume that because Amalek was a grandson of Edom, that the halacha of Amalek is no different than the halacha of Edom. And the halacha of Edom is that third generation are already allowed to intermarry with Jews. Therefore, Amalekim, by presumption, are also third generation allowed to intermarry with Jews. Nevertheless, opposed to Amalek, which by the third generation is considered to be totally clear of any flaw that it might have had, Amon Moav, who basically just didn't do a Maisa Chesed, are excluded from Klal Yisrael for eternity. Which seems to imply, if we're going to use a mushal to explain it, that a person can have a physical flaw. A person can, Rahman al-Islam, be in an accident. He can get badly injured. As long as the injury is not something which affects either his brain or his heart, as long as his brain is working perfectly and his heart is working perfectly, then even though he may go through a major disaster or a major accident and he may need a tremendous amount of time for rehabilitation, but at the end of the day he will survive because his heart is intact and his brain is intact. But if a person, Rahman al-Islam, goes through an accident where the brain is damaged or where the heart is damaged, then the survival chances are very slim. The chet of Amalek was something which was, for want of a better description, a missing limb, a damaged limb, but the lev and the moyach were still working. The chet of Amon and Moav was something which affected the essence, the brain, the heart. It's something which is irreversible. The lack of a Maisa Chesed is something which is irreversible. Val achas kama v'kama, the reward for Maisa Chesed. The archetype of Ish HaChesed, of a person who perhaps would be considered in world history to be the prototype of what is the ideal individual who can be described as a Baal Chesed, is obviously Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu is basically defined as being Midas HaChesed. And even though it's true that Parshas Vayera starts off with a Maise Chesed of Avraham Avinu in reference to the Malachim who came to him, nevertheless, excluding that one story that is told to us in the Torah, there is not written anywhere in the Torah explicitly the Maise Chasodim of Avraham Avinu. And even that story which is told to us in the Torah at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, it takes place when Avraham Avinu is how old? Anybody know? He's 100 years old. 100 years of Chesed are not recorded anywhere in the Torah, even though Chazal have endless stories, long extrapolations about the chesed of Avraham Avinu. Not a word is mentioned in the Torah about the chesed of Avraham Avinu other than that one story. Avraham Avinu supplying food and drink to three angels. And that's something which needs understanding. The Medrash in Parshas Noach brings a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Roidef tztoka v'chesed." Somebody who pursues tztoka and chesed, yimsa tztoka v'chayim v'chovod, will get all the benefits of life. To which the Medrash says, who are we referring to in that pasuk? Who is the roidif tztoka v'chesed? Who's the person who ran uncontrollably after a Maisa Chesed. Says the Medrash, Ze Avram. That's talking about Avram Avinu. How do we know it's talking about Avram Avinu? Because it says in reference to Avram Avinu, V'shomru derech Hashem la'asit stoko v'chesed. And where do we see, says the Medrash, the outstanding act of chesed that Avram Avinu did? Where do we see Avram Avinu doing an act of chesed to the ultimate? Says the Medrash, Shegomal chesed l'sora. He buried his wife. That's the ultimate act of chesed. That's the definitive act that Avraham Avinu did in terms of chesed. And that's also very strange. Isn't that a basic humanistic mode of behavior? If you don't bury your own wife, there's something really wrong with you. Right? That's the ultimate act of chesed, burying one's wife. Maybe for some people the ultimate act of freedom, but it's definitely not the ultimate act of chesed. It's just normal, standard, decent, everyday behavior. There are different reasons why people do chasodim. There are different types of people, and each person does chesed for a different reason. There are those people who do chesed because they really believe that it's the basis on which society functions in a normal manner. You can't have a society which will function normally if people aren't doing acts of chesed one to the other, otherwise the whole society falls into total complete chaos and total and complete anarchy. You can't have a society of people who are totally egoistic. It doesn't work. Therefore, in order that society should survive, it's a necessity that one does acts of chesed one to the other. There are people who believe in doing chesed out of egoism. If I do a maisa chesed to somebody else, then he'll do a maisa chesed back to me. In other words, it's worth it to do something for somebody else because you'll probably get back more than what you gave in the long term. There are certain people who do chesed out of pity, rachmanas. They have pity on other people who are in a lesser situation than they are, and therefore they do acts of kindness towards them. It's also a certain element of egoism. You can't take it that the other guy is suffering. It disturbs you that the other guy is suffering, therefore I'll solve his suffering in order that I shouldn't suffer. Or you get pangs of conscience. So I'll solve my conscience by doing something for him. Also purely, at the end of the day, egoistic reasons. Couched in social niceties, that's all. But it's egoism. The Torah has a completely, totally different view as to what chesed is all about. The Rambam talks about this at length in the third volume of Meir Nevuchim in chapter 23. The Rambam elaborates on what the Torah's view of chesed is. And after going through a lengthy explanation of how the Torah views chesed, the Rambam sums it up in one sentence. And the Rambam says the following: look in Nevi'im. Take the section of Tanakh which is Nevi'im. Go through it, says the Rambam, from beginning to end, and you'll find something very interesting. Rav Shimush Sifrei HaNevua B'Milas Chesed. Most of the times, when the Novi uses the expression Chesed, what he means is, says the Rambam, Hatova, doing something for the benefit of another person, b'misha ein lo chayv alecha klal. even though you owe him nothing, and he owes you nothing, even though you have absolutely nothing to do with him. Most of the occasions, says the Rambam, where the Torah uses the expression chesed, it refers to a pristine act. It refers to an act where you don't get anything out of it and you will not get anything out of it. Meaning the following. And this is what the Rambam elaborates on there in the course of this entire chapter. A person is obligated to develop within himself a nature of hatova, a nature of doing for other people. That he should reach a stage, says the Rambam, where it becomes a taiva by him. Where he becomes totally committed to doing acts of hatova. Where it's something which he can't keep away from, says the Rambam. Without, says the Rambam, any hisyachsus whatsoever, without the individual taking into consideration whatsoever what is the situation of the other person that he's doing the chesed to. The individual, says the Rambam, is obligated to do a maaseh chesed because he has to form his character. That his character should be a character of the individual who is meitiv and who does chasodim. Whether the other person needs the chesed and needs the hatova or doesn't need the chesed or doesn't need the hatova, that's irrelevant, that doesn't play a role, says the Rambam whatsoever. The fact that there is a makabu there, says the Rambam, that's only a hechatimsa. That's the chefts of the mitzvah. The chefts of the mitzvah is the person at the receiving end. But that has nothing at all to do with you. Therefore, says Rav Dessler, the old time argument, does he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve it? Is he an oni? Isn't he an oni? Is irrelevant. That's got nothing to do with you. That's his cheshbon with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's nothing to do with you. You have a chiyuv of hatova, says the Rambam. You have a chiyuv of hatova because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from you. He wants you, for you to become a personality of chesed, a personality of hatova. Therefore, what is the only Maisa Chesed of Avraham Avinu, which is recorded in the Torah? The story of Avraham Avinu with the Malachim. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, only one story out of the endless stories that there are in Chazal about the Chesed of Avraham Avinu, one story. Avraham Avinu giving the Malachim to eat and to drink. Why? Because they didn't need it. Malachim don't need to eat and Malachim don't need to drink. So at the end of the day, even though Avraham Avinu may not have known that they were Malachim, he thought that they were Arabs, but at the end of the day, he did an act of Hatova which was totally unrequired by the recipient. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, the Torah has come to give us a message there. Hatova has nothing at all to do with the other person. Hatova is a person developing his own personality. Any act of chesed and hatova can always carry the subconscious thought that it's worth my while to do it. Because I'll get something back. Unless you're doing an act of hatova with a dead person. When you're doing an act of hatova with a dead person, you're not going to get anything back. He's dead. He can't give you anything back. You'll never get anything anymore from him. Therefore, says the Pasuk, what sets the prime example of Avraham Avinu being an Ish Chesed, the fact that he did a Maisa Chesed with his wife after she died. He wasn't going to get anything back. He wasn't going to get a good hot supper next day because he buried her. Nothing. It was a one-way Maisa of Chesed. It was a one-way Maisa of Hatova, which has nothing at all to do with ulterior motives. And those are the two examples that the Torah gives for that very reason. I've mentioned many times beforehand that Rav Dessler writes a major, major principle. Every person has a middah of giving, and every person has a middah of taking. Every person has a middah of nesina, and every person has a middah of netila. The middah that a person has of taking is something which he is born with, because he does it from the minute that he is created. A person is a noitel, says Rav Dessler, when he's being developed in his mother's womb. He is constantly taking from his mother. He is existing. He is growing. The embryo is alive and the embryo is growing because the embryo is constantly taking everything from the mother. The person comes out of his mother's womb into this world and he immediately becomes a noitel. He immediately takes. He takes oxygen. He takes food. He takes drink. He's constantly taking. An embryo, a child, gives nothing. He just takes. Taking is an active middah which a person is born with. Giving is a latent middah which a person has and which he has to develop. And the function of a person, says Rav Dessler, in life is to minimize the netila and to maximize the nesina. To minimize the taking and to maximize the giving. We're now basically one day from Shavuos. In Shavuos we read Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus, as we said, is a Megillah which revolves around the concept of Chesed. Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah. Torah revolves around the concept of Chesed. And this is something which is very important, particularly to Bnei Yeshiva, particularly to guys learning in a yeshiva. There are two types of yeshiva bocherim. There are yeshiva bocherim who are noitlim, and there are yeshiva bocherim who are noislim. Because there is one type of yeshiva guy whose entire focus is that he wants to steig. He wants to grow. He wants to grow in Torah. He wants to grow in Yerushalayim. He wants that others should grow in Torah. He wants that others should grow in Yerushalayim. Therefore, he wants that the yeshiva should be a place where a person can grow in Torah and where a person can grow in Yerushalayim. His whole presence in the yeshiva is in order to give, in order to develop an atmosphere, in order to develop an environment where he himself can grow and where others can grow. Therefore he comes to davening on time. Therefore he comes to storim. Therefore he stays within the parameters of what is the setup of a yeshiva, in order that he and everybody around him can actually develop in Torah and in Yerushalayim. In other words, his whole focus is that this yeshiva should be a proper Makom Torah. It should be a real Makom Torah. Nevertheless, he still has to eat. He still has to sleep. He still needs social time. He still needs relaxation because he's a normal human being. Therefore, he takes from the yeshiva the sleeping time, the eating time, the food, the bed, the relaxation time, the social life. But it's all with one emphasis. In order that he should be able to give. In order that it should be an environment which is conducive to steiging in Torah and steiging in Yerushalayim. It's the second type of guy. The second type of guy, he believes that yeshiva is a very comfortable environment to spend a couple of years. Decent company. It's a nice social life. It's interesting. Don't have to do too much. Basically, he's looking for a hotel. He wants to eat. He wants to sleep. He wants to drink. And he wants to have a good time. So he basically wants to take the whole time. But if he keeps doing that and doing nothing else, they'll eventually throw him out. So he'll do them a favor and he'll be a nicer now and again. He'll turn up once a month for a davening. He'll turn up on a Thursday night, hear a parashah shiur, why not? It's usually interesting. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to get slammed. Somebody's going to be made a fool of. Why not? And it may be the guy I can't stand, and it's going to be great. So he'll give something. But his giving is because he wants to take, that's all. He's a noito. He's willing between the tiulim and the eating and the sleeping and the drinking and the music and the various other Irish kaitan. He's willing to contribute the absolute, total, complete, utter minimum that is necessary to survive. So he'll give a little bit of learning, a little bit of davening between all the other activities. But Be'etim is a noito. There's a Gemara in Psochim. It's at the very beginning of Psochim. I don't know how many of you guys have learned it. I know it's on Daf Ches on the Aleph. I'm a base. The Gemara is a hafladika Gemara. The Gemara is a Pella. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Shluchei mitzvah einon nizoikin. That if somebody is going to do a mitzvah, he won't get hurt. A shliach mitzvah ain't in the zaykin. A shliach mitzvah doesn't get damaged. Loi b'halichoson, neither when he's going to do a mitzvah, v'loi b'chaziroson, nor when he's coming back from doing a mitzvah. The Gemara carries on. The Gemara says that's not the opinion of everybody. There is an alternative opinion, says the Gemara, that Shluchei mitzvah einin nizaykin is only when they are going to do a mitzvah. But not when they're coming back from doing a mitzvah. So it's a machlokes. When you're coming back from doing a mitzvah, is there a possibility that you will be nizayk or not? It's a machlokes. The Gemara carries on and the Gemara says the following. The Bnei Yeshiva came to ask Rav a shaila. What was their shaila? They were learning in the yeshiva. The yeshiva had a Beis HaMedrash. The yeshiva had a dorm, but the dorm was far away from the Beis HaMedrash. They had to walk from the Beis HaMedrash back to the dorm. It was dangerous at night to walk back from the Beis HaMedrash to the dorm. Are they allowed to walk back from the Beis HaMedrash to the dorm or not? They're going to sleep, right? So they're not Shluchei Mitzvah. Shluchei Mitzvah is when you're going to the Beis Medrash. That was no problem. That they understood. To go to the Beis Medrash even at night, they could go because Shluchei Mitzvah is Zaykin. But can they go back? So what should the answer be? The answer is, it's Machlekes. Okay, fine. So they wanted to know Lamaisa. They said to Rav, fine, it's Machlekes. Well, what do we do Lamaisa? To which Rav says to them, as far as walking at night to the Beis HaMedrash from the dorm, that you can do on my responsibility, you will not run into any problems. Because going to the Beis HaMedrash is a mitzvah, and the mitzvah will protect you. So they said to Rav, that's fine. But we're asking you something else. Are we allowed to go back from the Beis HaMedrash to the dorm? Or not? Rav says, I don't know. But what does he mean, I don't know? So the posh pshat I don't know is, I know there's a machlokes here, but I don't know how we paskin. What do you mean you don't know how we paskin? If there's a machlokes, it's a sofik. So there are klolim, how you paskin in the case of a sofik. It's not the first situation where there's a machlokes about something. So it depends. The raisa, if it's the rabbanim, if it's lakula, if it's lachumra, if it's a sofik, if it's a sfeksvek, if it's the millions of klolim as to how to paskin when you've got a sofik. What do you mean you don't know? You're the god lador. What do you mean you don't know? You ask somebody to find a shaila. I don't know. You don't know. That's your job to know. And what's so difficult to work it out? Use the principles that there are of sfeikas in halacha and you're paskin whether you're allowed to go back from the Beis HaMedrash to the dorm at night or not. So what was Rav saying? I don't know. I think the pshat is poshut. Why is it the shluchei mitzvah einen nizaykin b'halichaso? Because they're going to do a mitzvah and the mitzvah protects them. But then they turn around to Rav and they said, okay, that's when we're going to the Beis HaMedrash. Are we allowed to go back to the dorm? Says Rav, I don't know. And you know why I don't know? Because I'm not sure why you're going back to the dorm. If you're the type of guy who your focus is that you're here to learn and here to develop a place where other people can also learn and steig, and therefore the only reason why you're going back to the dorm is in order to create a situation whereby you'll have enough courage to turn up the next day on time to davening and on time to seder and sit the whole day. Then you're going back to the dorm is an act of nesina. And if it's an act of nesina, then you're a shliach mitzvah coming to the Beis HaMedrash and going from the Beis HaMedrash. But if you belong to category two, you're the type of guy who's here because it's a good hotel. So you're a noitel. It's just that you pop into the Beis HaMedrash every now and again. Because otherwise they're going to throw you out. So you're a noitel. So if you're going to the Beis HaMedrash, so at the end of the day, you're going to the Beis HaMedrash. So the mitzvah's making on you. You're going back to the dorm as an act of netilah. That's not going to help. No mitzvah there. On the contrary. Says Rav, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you fit. I don't know you well enough, you guys, to know which of you fits into that category. I wouldn't have had Rav's problem, but he had the problem. You know, I would have blanket said none of you are allowed to go back. But Rabbi Say, there's a yesod here. Being in yeshiva is dangerous. It's dangerous. Because the way that Torah works, and I've said this many times, the way that Torah works is, as Chazal say, that it's potent. It's powerful. It's powerful in both directions. Chazal phrase it in poetic language. It can either be a medication which keeps you alive, or it can be a poison that kills you. That's the way that Chazal phrased it. Being in a yeshiva is dangerous. If you're in a yeshiva as a nosan, and a nosan means turning up for Seder and turning up for davening, that's what a nosan means, then it can have a tremendous effect. But if you're in a yeshiva as a noitel, then Rahman al-Islam has a tremendous effect in the opposite direction. We're holding 24 hours before Shavuos. We're holding 24 hours, which is a very dangerous 24 hours. 48 hours, sorry. Very dangerous period of time. Very dangerous period of time. Because this is the 48 hours prior to Yom HaDin in reference to Torah. However you're going to swing it, however you're going to understand it, it's irrelevant. Shivim Panim the Torah, you can understand it however you want. But there's a Yom HaDin. And the way in which the next 48 hours are spent plays a tremendous role. Somebody mentioned to me today, I don't know, it's a Bach, it's a Zohar, I don't know what, stay up the whole night in Shavuos. Not myself, Das, and you don't sleep. Borscht! Forget about it! I want to see the next 48 hours that somebody can keep a Tanis people. From now until Ma'ariv on Shavuos night, forget about Shavuos night. Until Ma'ariv on Shavuos night. That's what the Rosh Hashanah is for. He doesn't care about the Shavuos night, believe me. Believe me, if you learn an hour Shavuos night after Ma'ariv, then you go to sleep for the night, then you get up and you spend the whole day learning the next day, it's the same thing, believe me. Nothing will happen. Maya prize. Nothing will happen. Briskrov used to go to sleep. Briskrov used to go to sleep when Shavuos night. Get up in the morning, spend the whole day learning. Pesach night, stayed up the whole night. Halach and Shulchan Aruch. You have to be Marba B'Sipis to Mitzrayim. The whole night. It's a mitzvah. Shavuos night, a minute. Sorry. That's not what the Rebbe Shlomo is looking for. He's not looking that you should spend 4 hours with a Tanis Dibo and sitting in the best marriage learning and then sleeping for 3 weeks afterwards because you stayed up the whole night. Don't stay up the whole night, go to sleep. Then maybe you'll daven a proper davening. You won't fall asleep. 99% of the guys, they don't even know that we read Megillus Rus on Shavuos because they're snoring their heads off by the time Shavuos comes. That's why I got seichel at a certain point in time. So I go to bed, finished. It's a point of davening, it's not a davening, it's nothing. It's just a joke. Get a bed, Baruch Hashem. Plenty of minyanim here in the morning. No shortage of minyanim. Anyway, you guys don't go to bed till 4 o'clock every morning. So if you'd rather like you get a bed at 4 o'clock and get up at 8 o'clock, get up at 9 o'clock, you can daven with me at 10 o'clock. There's a minyan here. Next 48 hours. That's what Rebbe Rishon wants to see. Can you keep it Niktanas Dibor and stay in the Besam Medrash? Friday, tomorrow. 2 stories. Just for a half an hour to go to the mikveh and have a shower. Other than that, stay in the Besam Medrash. Shabbos. Erev Shavuos. Stay in the Besam Medrash. Don't go to sleep. Learn the Besam Medrash the whole day. You're tired, go to sleep Shavuos night. If you can do that, then maybe you're getting somewhere. The rest is hype. Shtick. Has nothing at all to do with Judaism. No connection. Not only the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't want it, he doesn't like it. You can't do Kol Dovar Asur and be mevatel 2 days before Shavuos and then turn up on Shavuos night and for 2.5 hours drink Coca-Cola and grapes, and then for 20 minutes look in a Gemara. Because the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't like people like that. He says, you and me, we can't live under one roof. That's what Chazal says. That's what Rebbe Shlomo says. You and me, we're not socially suitable, says Rebbe Shlomo. You belong to one society, I belong to another society. Go and join your friends in Little Italy. Keep away from me. Or in Harlem, wherever they are. Next 48 hours. That is the measuring rod. For a guy can sit on a Friday, 2 full siddurim. And there's no reason why not. You guys haven't got banks to cover. You haven't got food that you have to buy. Nothing will happen if there is no sauce together with the rice. The world will not collapse. Believe me, I guarantee you, nothing will happen. And instead of pottering around like a Puerto Rican in a kitchen, or a Mexican illegal immigrant, sit in the Beis HaMedrash on Erev Shabbos for 2 Sdorim, and sit Friday night for a few hours after you finished eating, and sit Shabbos the whole day, got a nice long Shabbos, then Shavuos looks different, and the Emadin of Matan Torah looks different, and you'll look different. Thank you.